This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Thank you so much for taking some time out to stop by on your way out of town. What brings you to Charlottesville today?
Well, we came over this afternoon. Dr. Larry Sabato at the University of Virginia was kind enough to invite me to come over and talk to one of his politics and government classes. We had a great time with him this afternoon. I talked a little bit about how I got involved in politics and my interest in politics, the importance of government. We talked about a number of the important issues facing Virginia today, and just had a great visit with those folks.
Now, that's a very popular J-term class, as they call it, January term class, where kids come back a little bit sooner and then take a quick class. I imagine, knowing any of Sabato's kids, that the questions were probably very good.
They were great questions. They obviously had done their homework. They knew a lot about some of the important issues we're facing in Virginia today. They asked me about transportation, and they asked me about health care, and they asked me about the state budget and how it worked, and they've done their work. That's a smart group of kids, and a lot of budding young politicians there, I think.
There you go. We want to give our listeners that same opportunity. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. If you have a comment or a question for Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling right here in studio, WINA. Again, the phone number is 977-1070. We would absolutely love to hear from you. We have a General Assembly session coming up in just a couple days. Tell us how this works, because you are president of the Virginia Senate. There'll be an opening in Jamestown, is that right? And then back to work in Richmond on Thursday?
Well, we actually, the session will convene Wednesday morning at 10:30 at the state capitol in Richmond. The Constitution of Virginia requires that the General Assembly convene on the second Wednesday of each January in Richmond. So we'll convene in Richmond Wednesday morning at 10:30. After that, we will then go to Jamestown, where we will ceremonially kick off the 2007 session, because this is, of course, the 400th anniversary of the first English settlement in the New World at Jamestown. We will do two things there. At 2 o'clock Wednesday afternoon, Vice President Dick Cheney will be visiting with us. He'll do the keynote speech at our special ceremony honoring the 400th anniversary of Virginia. And then that night at 7 o'clock, again in Jamestown, Governor Kane will deliver his first State of the Commonwealth address. And then we'll be back in Richmond for affairs as normal on Thursday morning.
Now, is it safe to say that transportation again will headline this session as it did last session? And the first question, the second question is, can we expect different results than we got in 2006?
Well, I think it clearly will dominate the session. I think the most important issue facing Virginia today is our efforts to build a transportation system for the 21st century. I think to do that, we all understand that it's going to take more resources. The debate, of course, is where do you get those resources? Do you have to raise taxes to get those resources, as the governor has proposed? Or are there sufficient resources in state government? Are there other things you can do to generate those resources, which is what the House of Delegates wants? And, you know, I think, Coy, whether we get anything different accomplished this year or not depends on where we allow the focus to be. If the focus is, again, on taxes, taxes, and higher taxes, we're not going to get anything accomplished. We spent 9 months last year debating higher taxes. The House of Delegates is not going to approve massive statewide tax increases. It's just not going to happen. So what I'm trying to encourage people to do is, let's look for other things that we might be able to reach agreement on. I think there are several other possibilities that we could get consensus around. Let's at least try to move this ball forward and get something done this year, even if we can't find the ultimate solution to our transportation challenges. Let's get something done. Some agreement is better than no agreement.
And certainly in an election year, there's a lot of folks, there's 140 legislators in Richmond that probably agree with that philosophy. Let's just deliver something.
Well, I hope they do. I will see. You know, time will tell. I know, you know, someone told me one time the definition of insanity was doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So I know we're not going to raise taxes. Those proposals just aren't going to pass muster. So we got to find some other way to move this ball forward. And if everybody comes to Richmond with that realization and that mindset, I think we can get something done. But if we allow the debate for the next 45 days to once again be about these massive statewide tax increase proposals, I fear that we will labor much and deliver little, and that would be a great disappointment.
And these proposals, we should clarify, most are coming out of the governor's office. Is that right?
Well, the governor has proposed two increases in his transportation package that I think will meet with resistance. One is to boost the motor vehicle sales tax from 3% to 5%, and the other is to boost vehicle registration fees by $15 per year. Now, there are some other things in the governor's package that I think we can get agreement on. He's proposed using $500 million in budget surplus money or new revenue sources for transportation. I think we can get agreement on that, maybe even find some more. He's proposed boosting so-called abusive driver fees to generate about $50 million a year the first year. I think we can probably get agreement on that. So, and then there are two or three other things, other areas where I think agreement is possible. So my message is, let's focus on what's possible. Let's at least move the ball forward. Let's not spend all our time haggling again about things that we know aren't going to happen. That's just not responsible.
Am I reading it correctly to say that we've got sort of one side where they would like to, the governor's side, where they'd like these taxes and fees to create what they're calling a long-term revenue source for these major projects around the state? And then on the other side, you have like Speaker Howell saying, you know, we've got a AAA bond rating. Why don't we use that? Why don't we sell bonds instead of raising these taxes? And then, of course, the response is, well, when you sell those bonds, you got to pay them back.
Right.
And that means just raising taxes down the road. Is that an accurate portrait of where we are? And I guess my response would be, do they always have to raise taxes down the road when they sell bonds? I don't see any historical data, I guess. It's
well,
sort of
no,
like,
the answer to that is no, you don't. I mean, you have to provide a revenue source, but that revenue source could be existing revenues that are dedicated to that purpose as opposed to new revenues or higher taxes. And I view that debate as being two kind of different issues. You know, the first issue is, where can we go to get resources to dedicate to transportation? The second issue is, once those resources have been obtained, should we simply pay as you go on these transportation projects, or is it okay to responsibly use bonds for transportation? Now, it's interesting that last year, some of the people, the governor included, that objected to the use of bonds for transportation, this year have come in and proposed the use of bonds, $250 million in bonds, for some natural resource protection programs. Well, you can't have it both ways. If bonds are okay for natural resource protection programs, and I don't have a problem with that, then bonds ought to be okay for transportation. And the fact is that we have a significant untapped debt capacity in Virginia. And if we could generate, for instance, $300 million a year in ongoing revenue, we could leverage about $4 billion in highway projects through the responsible use of bonds. And so I think the combination of those two things is ultimately going to be what it takes to get some meaningful transportation dollars on the table.
Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling is our guest in studio, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. What else is on the horizon for you for this session? Any particular thing that you're looking at? I know there's talk of the fact that we may be looking for the first time at a very serious opportunity to end Virginia's one-term governor. Virginia, of course, being the only state in the nation that still limits its governor to only one term. Our governors cannot succeed him or herself. And now they're talking that we may actually have a climate now where the state legislators might be open to moving on and allowing a governor to succeed himself.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how that debate unfolds. I have always been an advocate of a two-term governor. I think that's a good idea. I think that would provide more stable and continuous executive leadership for the Commonwealth. But historically, the General Assembly has not been terribly receptive to that argument, in large part, I think, because they may not want a very strong executive, because that may cede power from the legislative branch to the executive branch. So, you know, it is my hope that we may be able to make some progress on that this year. It looks like there may be an opening, but Whether that is a serious interest or not, I think we'll find out when we get to Richmond and we start talking about it in a little more detail.
Any other thing on your plate that you're looking at in your office that you have, are really focused on over the next few weeks?
Well, we're going to have a very aggressive legislative agenda. We usually try to limit our agenda to no more than about 10 different issues. We think that's something that we can, you know, keep our hands around responsibly. Our agenda is going to focus on the three areas that we spent our time focusing on during the 2006 legislative interim. That was public safety. We're going to have some initiatives to deal with violent gangs and the problem of internet sexual predators. We also spent a lot of time focusing on some of the health care challenges facing Virginia. We have a couple initiatives that will try to make health care more affordable for small businesses and sole proprietors, and an initiative that would put more money into our scholarship programs to recruit folks into educational programs relating to healthcare, with the proviso that they then go back and provide services in medically underserved areas of Virginia. And then the third area is rural economic development. We'll have some initiatives to put more money into the governor's opportunity fund, lower some of the triggers for programs that that fund can be used to assist with, which will make it more meaningful for rural Virginia. We'll have a few other initiatives, but most of them this year will focus around those public safety, healthcare, and rural economic development initiatives that we spent so much time during the 2006 legislative interim traveling around the state and talking about.
We're talking with Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling in studio. Quite an honor today. Henry is on the line in Albemarle County. Henry, thanks for the call. You're on with Bill Bowling.
Yeah, I got to the show a little bit late. I don't know if Lieutenant Governor Bowling has addressed this or not, but what does he see happening as far as the General Assembly and on a state level, since the federal government seems to be so slow in addressing illegal immigration and the impact it's having on the Commonwealth?
Well, that's a great question, Henry. You know, our legislative agenda this year will include two or three initiatives relating to the issue of illegal immigration. Initiatives that we have tried to get through the General Assembly the past couple of years and have unfortunately been unable to do. One of those initiatives would be to require the governor to enter into a memorandum of understanding with the federal government through which state and local law enforcement agencies in Virginia could do more to arrest and detain illegals when they confront them. Not that they would necessarily be going out looking for them, but if they confront them through traffic stops or routine investigatory practices, that we would have more authority in Virginia to arrest and detain illegal immigrants when we confront them. We'll have a second initiative that would create some penalties for employers who knowingly hire illegals. We think it is important that we provide a disincentive to employers from knowingly hiring illegals. And then we're also going to try again to pass the legislation to statutorily say that we're not going to provide state benefits like in-state tuition at our colleges and universities to illegals. We've tried to do those things the last two or three years. We've been unable to get the votes to pass those bills, but we're going to be back again this year trying to do that one more time.
What about means of eliminating the, what they call the anchor baby? You know, if you can have a baby here in the States, then you automatically, not only does the child get support, but the parents too. Is there anything that, on a state level, that can be done about that?
Well, most of the state benefits for illegals other than emergency medical care and in-state tuition, we did eliminate, I guess now it was in 2004. And I think that was a good thing for the General Assembly to do. So most of those issues we've dealt with. The only two state benefit areas that are still available, one is emergency medical care, which I do not think the General Assembly would be prepared to eliminate. The other is in-state tuition. And, you know, as you know, the primary responsibility for dealing with the immigration issue rests with the federal government. And unfortunately, the federal government has, in my judgment, just not been aggressive enough in dealing with this problem. And therefore, we're left with the state at the state level looking for things like those that I've talked about today that we can do to be more proactive at the state level. But the ultimate solution here is to continue working with our federal partners to make sure that we secure our borders to stem the flow of illegals coming into the country. make sure that we develop meaningful guest worker programs so people can come here for more easily for legitimate purposes like getting a job and getting an education, and then continuing to find some solution at the federal level for what we do with the 13.5 million illegals or so that are currently in the country today. So, you know, we got to keep working with our federal partners principally to address those big issues. But at the state level, we'll continue to bait some of these smaller initiatives that we can do in Richmond.
Henry, thank you so much for the phone call. We've been talking with Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling in studio right here on Rose Hill Drive. I know you have to get on the road. I know you've got an event to get to this evening. It's a fundraiser, and I imagine you'll be going to quite a lot of those this year with a big election coming up in November for 40 senators and 100 delegates in Richmond.
Well, you're right. We have all 140 seats in the General Assembly up for grabs this year. As the highest-ranking statewide Republican official in Virginia, obviously I have some responsibilities of a political nature to make sure we maintain our Republican majorities in the Senate and the House of Delegates. We're out there right now actively recruiting candidates in districts where we need to field candidates, raising money to help those candidates make sure they get elected. Now, the good news is once the General Assembly session starts on Wednesday, we can't do any fundraising activity for 45 days. But I assure you, come March 1st, we'll be back on the road again.
Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling, thank you, sir. We chat with you once a month regularly, but this has been a real treat to have you in studio. We look forward to that opportunity, perhaps doing this again.
I'd love to. Thanks, Coy. Have a great day.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network and at WINA.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.